everyone. Welcome to the Smashy Business Show. I'm Farah Makhlouf, and this is Richard Fitzgerald.
Richard Fitzgerald here with you this morning, Farah. Welcome back after Eid. What are we talking about today?
Okay, so jumping into our first story.
No, just the headlines, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so today's stories, we have NVIDIA crossing $1 trillion, making it the most valuable company in the world. Million Dollar Island Show is also launching. Apache founder Nizar Shukair passes away. Okay, yes. So how was your Eid holiday?
It was good holiday. Interesting choice of word.
Yes.
It was Eid break. You know, it's. I think it was only 2 days off, but the mood has changed, right? Like, we're entering the summer. There's travel ads everywhere. It's getting hotter. Schools are closing. So it just, like, it's different. The last Eid was nice. It was a little longer. It was over. It was after Ramadan, but you knew you still had 6 weeks more of hard work and school and everything.
Yeah. Oddly enough, usually Eid al-Fitr is a lot shorter than Eid al-Adha, but like the vacation or like the holiday, official holiday for Eid al-Fitr was a lot longer than Eid al-Adha this year.
Mm. The way the days fell and everything.
Yeah, it's the way that it all fell into place. But honestly, like, I feel pretty well, like, rested.
That's
and
good.
Back to work.
It's a good feeling. Did you travel?
No. Everyone else traveled, though. I feel like half of the office is out.
Yeah.
But I just prefer to just stay in. Yeah. Did you travel?
I didn't. I did a short staycation in Al Wathba Resort off Abu Dhabi. It used to be on the Jumeirah Group. It's now under Marriott. And an interesting observation, depending on who manages the hotel, I think, I'm not a hotel expert, but I think it has an impact on the clientele. Like, I think if you're on Marriott Bonvoy app internationally, if you're getting hotel points, I think you choose hotels. And no one knew it was Eid there. They were all Western or, you know, traveling in. People down from Abu Dhabi for the pool day, like people would use Bab al-Shams here, similar feel of a resort. But I was there 5 years ago on the Jumeirah, and I think Jumeirah were doing a better job. Maybe it was new and fresh, but it was excellent. It was still really nice. Well done to Marriott and everything. Like, they, no, it was really nice, but I think not a better job in terms of managing, because Marriott are high quality in terms of service. The service was excellent, but I mean in terms of making it known within the UAE community that it's, there's something about Jumeirah and any a hospitality group that grows up in the region, I think, that has this sort of DNA, this Arabian hospitality in it, baked into it. And we've talked about Apache coming up. There's something about homegrown brands, especially in the hospitality sector. You know, if we talk about any food or hotels or restaurants, like, there's something about it.
Homegrown makes it, like, feel a lot more different.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah, if it's managed internationally. But the point I was going to talk about, Farah, is leave and time off and economics, because I always wonder about, like, the impact, you know, what makes the world go round, you know, and the GDP of the country and the economy. And I think this always sort of, you know, obviously we're moving into AI world and we could go deep on this conversation, but I just always think about, like, often think about, like, the impact of certain things on the economy and on business. You know, if there's a big football tournament happening in Europe at the moment, that's obviously good for the economy of Germany. But is it good for the economy of the 30, 40,000 Dutch who aren't at work today? You know what I mean?
Like, that's true,
there's always trade-offs. I think there's always trade-offs in economics. There's always pros and cons. Like, the, you know, it's that phrase, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Mm. You're getting a free lunch, but there's a supply chain that went into making that, and there's costs coming from somewhere, you know?
I heard, like, life stops in Paris, for example, when the Olympics happen. Like, life stops for the people who are, you know, residing there. But for the rest of the world, it's, like, ongoing. Like, everything's, like, advancing and all that. So life doesn't come to a halt.
No, but I think, you know, we talked about Eid breaks before on the show, and often it was like, do entrepreneurs switch off? Do they not? Can they do business? But you can do work. I think tech builders can code, so you can get work done. But economy and business is about trade. It's about meetings. It's about purchasing. It's about interactions. It's about services. The good thing, I don't know if you were out and about much, but the good thing is that Dubai itself was very busy over Eid. All the restaurants were full, the hotels were full. So it's the city's active.
Definitely. It doesn't calm down during Eid or anything.
No, like, traffic a little bit, thank God, but the everything else is not so great. Just as busy.
Dubai anyway, Mall's always packed, so.
Yeah, and a lot of the chat at the moment is about the parking fees on Dubai Mall. But let's jump into the first story.
Yeah, let's do it. So if you guys don't know, NVIDIA crossed the $1 trillion value, making it basically the most valuable company in the world. And it beat out Microsoft, which really came unexpectedly when the news was announced on Tuesday. And over a month ago, it also beat out Apple. So I feel like that was quite unexpected. But Rich, in your opinion, how can a company, you know, grow so much and like unexpectedly, I think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting one. Obviously, we've been talking about and covering NVIDIA. It feels like the AI craze started almost 2 years ago at the end of 2022. And NVIDIA, you know, there's two sides to AI. There's hardware and software. Software, we know OpenAI and ChatGPT and Generative and all this sort of chatbot talkback stuff. And then the hardware side is kind of hidden because we don't have a device yet. We don't have an AI device. We have our phones, right? But that was before AI in a way. And the devices that have come out in the last 6 months are kind of like, the brand names are Rabbit and Humane.ai, and they're supposed to be wearable AI devices. So we don't really have hardware yet. But what we have is behind the hardware, what is AI? So AI can be made up of large language models, LLMs, and these are the processing language models, the robots, the machines that take all the data and have their own intelligence on the back of it. I'm really doing layman's terms of this, but what they need is servers, and they need specific servers, and they need chips. Mm-hmm. And the history of NVIDIA, it's an interesting name. They started in 1993. We talked about this before. By the way, there's an excellent podcast called Acquired, two young Silicon Valley guys. They've been going for years, maybe 5 years. And they basically do companies. It's not just about getting acquired anymore, but they'll do lots of things. So they tell over three episodes, about 7-8 hours, they tell the full story of NVIDIA. Yeah, and like the name, like the NVIDIA part is from Latin word of, which means jealousy or envy. And new is new. So they wanted to be the envy of their rivals. And they were in the 90s, they were making these hard disks. And their rivals back then were Hewlett-Packard. But the founder kept changing the business, and he made a bet about 10 years ago on AI, and he made chips for data centers, and that's why they've rocketed, and they basically have a monopoly on it. So everyone who's rushing into AI, and this is to answer your question, AI is the new gold rush. So all the big companies, many companies and governments are trying to get into it, and countries and all sorts, but the big guys, it used to be called FANG. So these guys, mm-hmm. NVIDIA, have just taken over FANG. So FANG were Facebook, which is now Meta, F-A, Alphabet, Apple, Netflix, G, Google, maybe Apple, Amazon. So Google, so F-A-A-N-G. So they were the largest market cap in the world for the last 15 years, right? Like they were the big companies. Mm-hmm. Aramco, when they went public, jumped in a little bit there. But actually, it's these tech companies, and NVIDIA has now surpassed them. Microsoft kind of have been in there as well through partnerships and stuff. Long way of saying, these companies have partnered with NVIDIA. They're paying them fees. Everyone's doing deals with them. Mm-hmm. And they're their darling, and they're just in the right place, the right time. An overnight success that took 31 years to make. But they are the darling. They are the ones that are flying. You'll read different reports, you'll say that, you'll see other things that other people are trying to do, NVIDIA copies and everything like that, but they are the darling at the moment. And if you'd invested in them at any point, you would be doing really well.
Yeah, the stock ended the trading at nearly $136, and it was up by 3.5%, making it more valuable than Microsoft, and it overtook Apple earlier this month. So it might not have been quite an overnight success. It took a little bit of time to get there, but eventually, like, they really stood their ground and dominated the industry with AI.
Yeah, and $1 trillion. So, you know, like the markups of companies, they all went really high. They all reached their sort of all-time highs at the time of the pandemic. And then 2022 was a bad year for crypto and for everything. And a lot of the companies lost half their value, most of their value. The ones that weren't made of good stuff are still down, but most of them have rebounded back. So a lot of companies have bounced back, and sometimes they've reached $1 trillion. Well, even Meta and many other companies are really way up there over the last year, 200%, 400% rises. So we are so almost back at high markups, and they do touch over $1 trillion and they come back. So it's only in the last couple of years that we've had companies worth $1 trillion. And we don't have a trillionaire yet. Jensen Huang, is that how you pronounce his name?
I'm not sure.
The founder of the guy with the leather jacket with the NVIDIA tattoo, he's from Taiwan. He studied for a bit in Thailand. He moved to the US. He basically reached the 15 since this news yesterday, because the US stock markets are open. And NVIDIA, of course, is listed there, and the stock markets in the region have been closed. So we have been getting US markets news in the last few days. And he then became the 15th richest man in the world on the Bloomberg listing through this. So however much he owns of NVIDIA, but that's $1 trillion. But he's not a trillionaire yet. I wonder, will we have a trillionaire at some point?
I'm not sure, but I feel like it's quite soon. I feel like a lot of people are like, I mean, the millionaire and billionaire status is starting to like really skyrocket. There's a bunch of high net worth individuals in Dubai already and in the region. So I don't feel like it's very far-fetched to assume there's going to be someone soon.
It's a good reference to relate it to the region and the wealth here as well. But another point, when I think of the $1 trillion, that the US debt is over $1 trillion, or this is kind of, you know, maybe it doesn't cancel each other out, but there might be a day of reckoning with debt. You know, I don't think any country is too big to fail debt-wise. So let's watch this space.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely something to watch out for because it's ever-growing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of millions and billions and all that fun stuff, the hit franchise Million Dollar Island is coming to the Middle East for the first time. So basically, if you guys don't know, this is basically another one of those, like, game shows where there are 30 contestants and they go through extreme tests for their endurance amid the rugged and awe-inspiring trails of the desert. So this is going to supposedly take place in Saudi Arabia.
In Neom, maybe. So basically, the Million Dollar Island, obviously it's a franchise. We've had lots of reality shows doing well here.
Loads.
Like there's the Million Dollar Listing, there's Dubai Bling, there's Shark Tank. There's many formats that are coming here now. The show is expanding into new territories such as Romania, Australia, Belgium, and USA. On Smashy Business, you see a trailer on Instagram of the Australian show. It looks like a cross between like Celebrity Get Me Out of Here, Love Island, and some warrior thing going on. Neom quickly emerging as a major production hub film. Wayne Borg is Neom's managing director of media. Yep. They highlighted the rapid ascent in regional content creation center, which is fascinating. Talpa Studios, they are founded by John DeMol. So they're from The Voice, like Arab Idol and Big Brother. So The Voice and Big Brother, The Voice is a bit like Arab Idol, different format. It renewed its Million Dollar Island for new seasons in the Middle East and the Netherlands. So it's produced for NBC, and it's called Million Dollar Desert, and it'll be produced in Neom, which is fascinating, really, when you think about it.
Neom is, like, really emerging as a major hub for film and TV production. I mean, it's a very fascinating place. You've been, right?
I haven't been to Neom. I've been to Alula.
So it looks pretty similar, in my opinion.
It does look similar, but at the moment, there's not much in Neom. People do go in for business meetings. There's a couple of thousand people there, and shows like Kandahar have been shot there, movies, I should say. Neom has, three different parts to it. Mm-hmm. It's got the Terragon, it's got the Line, and it's got the Hexagon. Yeah. So different industries going on there. There is an island that's a resort called Sindala, and that's open, I think. Mm-hmm. But separate, so you've got Alula Neom, and then you have the Red Sea Project, the Red Sea Global. That's 23 five-star hotels, not to be confused with Neom itself. A lot of giga projects. Mm. Yeah, but fascinating. Love to see it. Love to see it that they're doing this there. And well done to NBC for funding this.
feel like there's a lot of these kinds of shows like that we're seeing recently. Obviously, Netflix is very big on these kinds of shows. They just released, what's it called? Perfect Match. So there's always these kinds of like shows going around.
Yeah.
Do you think this is like the new way to go, doing these kinds of shows? And do you think like people actually win money out of these shows?
I'm not sure if it's a new way to go. I think programming is interesting. Like, it's hard to know. Like, how do you know what's going to be a global hit on Netflix, like that Tiger thing or, the, you know, Red Deer or, you know, all the shows that blow up on Netflix? How do you know? And then it's a question on, like, are documentaries good? Like, for me, reality TV felt like 25 years ago. Like, that's when I thought, like, you know, following celebs around or Big Brother and things like that. But they are making it, but formats... Maybe they're making a comeback, maybe they're not. It's hit or miss how many people actually watch them now. Mm. Like, are we watching TikTok instead? I don't really know. I like that this region is bringing in some formats because it's a semi-form of tourism.
That's true.
But I don't know if it's the right format for modern media, for streaming, for live, for TikTok. I don't know if it's the right format. I don't think... The formats of the future are the ones that were made for a linear appointment TV view. But yeah, what about you? If you had to, I'm not going to say which one would you go on because I know that you're not the type of personality that would be more confident being on a reality TV show, but which is probably a good thing for some of these shows. But if I had to force you on one of these shows, which one would you pick?
Definitely not like... too hot to handle on those kinds of stuff. They're so cheesy, but like Million Dollar Island looks very interesting because basically like, okay, so that you get like numbered bracelets and each one is worth $10,000. So 100 bracelets together are worth $1 million. There's a lot of like money on the line here. And I like that it's a survival instinct kind of show.
Yeah,
I feel like there's a lot of these kinds of shows, and feel like they're really dominating.
Very cool. Okay, we'll put you forward.
Yeah,
that's your commitment to it. Okay, sadly, Apache founder Nizar Shukar passed away, Allah yarhamhu, so he founded the company in Lebanon in 1974. What else do we know about this famous chocolate brand?
So obviously it was founded by a Lebanese businessman. His name is Nizar. He is really like known for transforming everyone's like childhood and, you know, adolescence with these chocolates that gain popularity, you know, for years. I feel like it's very also common in the Middle East when you go visit someone's house, you carry a box of Pachi.
Yeah.
Like it's that dominating and it's that like, you know, it has a very big presence.
Yeah. 55 flavors, over 200 boutiques around the world. So it's rare that we're talking earlier about brands and expanding from the region. Their strong presence in Middle East, Africa, Asia, and Europe, including high profile locations like Harrods. So it's innovative. It's good quality, right?
It
it's
is.
Premium chocolates. It's nice to see that it came from the region. And it's sad to see these passed away, but his legacy for sure lives on.
Yes, of course. I have a question.
And they have a factory in the UAE, actually.
Do you think that a company, if, you know, the CEO or like the founder of a company passes away, do you think the company can still remain and still function as well?
It's an interesting one. I think, talking about NVIDIA and how long companies last, like we talked about Fang, 30 years ago, none of those companies existed. And the top five in the world were all oil and gas companies. And then there was the Fang. And in 20 years' time, it's going to be the NVIDIAs and AIs or who knows what, right?
Yeah.
And it's similar with, so it's not much to say it's the founder. It's just a cycle. It's just the way that corporations are run. It's the way that society runs. It's the way that things have a lifetime span. And I do think that corporations have to reinvent themselves. Mm-hmm. Same with, you know, 20, 30, 40%, 100% growth is only sustainable for so long. And you should bear this in mind when you're investing in NVIDIA and things like that. But so I don't think it's just related to the founder, but I think companies can only last so long. But then there's many other companies, like if you look back in the history, again, Acquired do this brilliantly. They say how Nintendo was and how it is now, and how Sony was and how it is now. And, you know, it depends on what happens next. Like Mattel, you know, Cannes Lions advertising is on at the moment in the south of France, and the person behind Mattel is the marketer of the year because of Barbie's success last year. But Mattel reinvented itself, and now it's, yeah.
So they have to.
You have to
survive.
Right? Absolutely. And like, you know, I'm sure this brand is synonymous with the region. It's been around for over 50 years. So it's obviously doing something right. Exactly 50 years, 74 to 24. Yeah. And it's doing something right. But chocolate, you know, tastes change, health habits change. And so I don't know. I think I wouldn't like to comment on that related to this, because I don't know what's happening with the company, but I think it is possible, absolutely, whether it's to do with the legacy planning. But there was a company I was thinking about lately that had good CEOs after and just kept on doing really, really well, but irrespective of the founder. But I think, you know, a founder like that who ran a business, and I'm not sure how involved he was lately, but for the last 50 years, like that's a good foundation. What do you think?
It's definitely possible. I mean, we've seen it time and time again where companies, you know, sometimes even thrive if they like change up their business model to like go with the times, and they don't like stay fixed and stuck in a certain pattern. They definitely have like room to grow, despite, you know, the founder not being there. It's definitely possible.
Yeah, like people always talk about like innovations and changing things. Like we hear of, you know, companies, famed companies like Nokia and Kodak who disappear, but you're kind of like, okay, obviously something killed them. But then you have other examples of a CEO coming in and changing around a company or a team that steers things. Like Microsoft probably should have died, you know, because Internet Explorer no longer exists.
That's it,
we don't use Hotmail much. So everything, like Google and App, and we don't have, you know, we don't have Windows, we don't have a CD. So why is Microsoft worth nearly $1 trillion? So, because they have Satya Nadella, who's a partnerships guy, and they have other types of software, and they bought LinkedIn, and they do lots of things. So like Disney probably should have died, and then Bob Iger steered it in another direction. So, you know, I always think of that. I think of like turnaround stories and like, you know, the companies who you think have rode off. But if this different decisions were made, then maybe they could have pivoted in a different direction. As you were saying, it's about changing.
100%. And I think, you know, Pashi is like homegrown, and it's like very much still like, it is a loved company that everybody likes to, you know, purchase chocolates from. So
yeah, and little cafes as well, right? Like have a coffee with a bit of chocolate. It's lovely. All right. Well, nice note to finish on, and I hope that family and that legacy are, you know, mourning at the moment, but I hope they're also proud of what was achieved and that the legacy lives on.
Hopefully. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in today, and please come back tomorrow, same time. We'll be back here for another episode of the Smashy Business Show.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye.